Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We're in this series called The Call to Serve God, and this is session two. We started last week. Session two is entitled, He Offers Us Partnership. Before we jump into the partnership thing, I want to do a little quick review of what we covered last week. Really looking at the kingdom call. It was something that we spent some time on in the first session, just kind of identifying the fact that there is a kingdom of God, that the Lord has each of us a part of that kingdom, and that as part of that kingdom, we're all servants that are that have roles that we're supposed to be serving and living out, that our lives are far beyond our Americanness. Our lives are far beyond the fact that we live in Arlington and have a family and have a job, that our lives are about the kingdom of God. And we just gave a bunch of scriptures last week and talked about that. I'll just give a couple of review verses that I want to use as our starting point again tonight. Acts 1:3, this is Jesus at the ascension. It's right before the ascension, beginning of Acts. And then also Matthew 28. Both of these are describing the same time frame, and both of these are really giving the foundation for what the church is supposed to do, be about, think about, have its mind on. I mean, if you look at the wisest leader that has ever lived, Jesus, and he's starting the most powerful institution that the earth has ever known, the church, the ecclesia. He's starting the church. Then the blueprints, the formative instruction of what that church is supposed to be, of what that organization is supposed to operate in, of the ethos, of the mandate, of the mission, of the thought process behind this thing that he is launching. He's leaving in like 1 minute. He's going to go up in a cloud. What did he talk about before he left? It was all about the kingdom of God. Acts 1:3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them, and he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, and he appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. When Jesus was spending these 40 days in his resurrected body with the disciples, I mean, now this is really anointed preaching. He's in the resurrection. It's Jesus, Son of God. He's come back from the dead. I mean, my goodness. And he's saying stuff. Whatever he's saying, please, somebody write it down. I mean, if he's given recipes, they're going to be delicious. Like, whatever the man has to say during that 40-day period of time, it's good stuff. He taught about the kingdom of God. So what he was doing was he was setting up his leadership team, the Apostles Plus, to know what their life was supposed to be about, what they were supposed to be teaching on, what they were supposed to be directing people to, they were supposed to be calling people to. Don't allow them to think that they're earthlings anymore. He's saying, teach them that they've now been grafted into a new kingdom. When they come to know me as their Lord, they are no longer humans merely. They are no longer citizens of Rome. They are no longer people of earth merely. They are now something far better. They are citizens of the kingdom of God. Teach them about the kingdom. Tell them their lives are way more than what they were before they knew me. Tell them that they now serve a different purpose, they serve in a different kingdom, and that their lives are intricately connected and intertwined to the purposes and the mandate of that kingdom. They're no longer just citizens of Rome. That is so secondary now. Teach them about the kingdom. And then the Acts or the Matthew 28 passage, this is, you know, also right before he ascended. A little bit more detail. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because all that authority has been given to me, the authority of the kingdom, therefore, because of that, you now go and make disciples. Go make kingdom followers. Go make citizens of the kingdom, of which I am the king. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that I've commanded you. Teach them the commandments of the kingdom. Teach them what it means to be a citizen of this kingdom. That's the responsibility of the church. And I gave you the verse last week that the responsibility of the leadership in the body of Christ is not to help the church in America feel good about being Americans. The role of the leadership structure in the kingdom of God, the fivefold leadership calling, is to call and equip the saints to do the work of the kingdom. It's to call them out of Americanness and into kingdomness. And while we are still going to be American until we die, or, you know, if some of you wants to get dual citizenship or something, or gets kicked out of here for doing something stupid, okay. But the most of us are probably still going to be Americans all the way through. That is so secondary. And we can't live for our American lifestyle as our primary responsibility in life. That is super secondary. Our primary responsibility is the kingdom of God. Now, this is such a different line of thought than how most of us think. Most of us think primarily, I am an American, therefore I will live out the American dream. I have the American responsibilities. That is primarily what we think about, and it's backwards. That's secondary. The primary call is to serve in the kingdom of God while being an American. All right, well, let's go into some new territory. I want to look at this incredible invitation. Again, the session tonight is entitled, He Offers Us Partnership. This is crazy to me. It does not get any bigger than this invitation in my mind. It's our job, even more than our job, even more than whatever occupation that we have. It is our purpose, even more than our family. It is the reason for our existence is that we've been given this invitation to know him and to serve him. This is what I'm laughing at about this invitation, this word partnership. It's an invitation to partner with God to do his kingdom stuff. To me, I look at these verses and I just think about, oh my gosh, Lord, what a risk you're taking. You've got this kingdom. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, always using the old, medieval concept of a kingdom and a castle and that kind of thing. The servants that you want serving in your kingdom, if you're a medieval lord or a medieval king, the servants that you want serving in your kingdom are the ones that have been trained, the ones that have a great understanding of the kingdom that they're a part of. Like, those are the ones that you entrust with responsibility. The faithful few, not the masses, not all the peasants out there. You don't give them, significant kingdom partnership. But God has offered this partnership to the least of us. Everybody in the kingdom, born yesterday into Jesus, known the Lord for a long time, been a bump on a log and not really been so helpful in the kingdom of God for decades. Every single one of us has been invited into partnership. And I just look at this as the riskiest thing God could do. He's got a kingdom that has purposes that are supposed to be met, that are functions of the kingdom, things that are supposed to be happening. This kingdom is supposed to be taking ground. And he entrusts you and me with the responsibility of partnering with him to see that kingdom move forward. And the reality is, if we don't partner with him, there are real components of that kingdom that don't move forward. To me, that's crazy. Like, you're so wise of a leader, you're so good. He entrusts us with partnership because he believes in partnership in as much as he wants his kingdom expanded. Like, maybe even more. He so wants us to partner with him in his kingdom that he won't just do it by himself. He doesn't just, because it's Monday, move his kingdom forward without any human participation. He doesn't do it. He refuses to. He brings us into partnership with him that he's got a kingdom, he's got objectives, he's in charge, he's the Lord, but when he wants the stuff done, he gives it to you and me and says, do stuff. Move my kingdom forward. I like you. You like me? Yeah, I like you. You saved me. Okay, do my kingdom. Move my kingdom forward. Oh my goodness, it just seems so risky and yet it's so real. The fact of this invitation, let me give you Deuteronomy 10:12. Deuteronomy 10:12. What does the Lord your God ask of you? God is asking something. What does he ask? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Now, it's important that we recognize here, this is Moses. I mean, this is Old Testament Moses, the prophet, okay? And he differentiates between obedience, love, and service. Obedience means don't do nothing stupid. God said don't sin, don't sin. Love means, God, I love you. And service means do stuff. And he says, I want you to do stuff for God with all your heart and all your soul. I want you to do stuff. There is actually a role. The believer, we What does the Lord ask of you? The Lord asks of you to obey him. We talk about that all the time. To love him, we talk about all that time. The Lord asks of you to serve his kingdom, to help him get his kingdom done, to do the work of God. This is audacious, this invitation. I just cannot think of anything crazier than the Almighty, all-sufficient, all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowing, asking you and me to help. What in the world? That is audacious. I think about his holiness. I think about our limitations. I think about his goodness. And yet he's inviting us into partnership. He's entrusting us with real kingdom work. It's a fact. He has a kingdom. It will only move forward if human beings help him, partner with him, and do his kingdom work. It's his, he bound himself to this. He likes the idea. He's not like in an arm bar and like sad. He thinks he's getting a good deal. But I just think about the risk of this, because we can say no. And in many cases, we say no. And I just want to ask you today, just a firm heart check. Like, just ask the Lord on those three things. What does the Lord ask of you? To walk in obedience. Are you walking in obedience to the truth, to what you know is right? You know, is there sin? Is there hidden sin? Are you walking in obedience? That's important. Number two, are you loving him? He asks this of you. It's the greatest commandment. He asks you to love him. Are you loving him? And number three, are you serving his kingdom purposes? Because you can do number one and number two and not touch number three and still make it all the way through your life. You can still love God and obey him and never serve his kingdom. He has a kingdom, a government, a purpose. The kingdom is supposed to be moving forward, and it's moved forward by us doing the work of the kingdom. And I just want to ask you, like, ask yourself that question. Today, this week, in this season of your life, are you loving him? Are you obedient? And are you serving the kingdom of God? It's his purposes. He's so holy. Look at these verses, Psalm 99, verse 9, and then 1 Chronicles 29. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. The holy God is inviting you and me into partnership. It's unbelievable. It's unthinkable. 1 Chronicles 29, 11. Yours, Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. What's he talking about? Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. And you're exalted as head over all. The kingdom of God is God's kingdom. It belongs to him. It's a priority in his heart. If we love him, it is the only fitting response that we would serve him. And serve him isn't doing dutiful religious activities. It's, God, you've got a kingdom, right? Yes, I have a kingdom. How can I help move the kingdom of God forward? And then let him answer. And we'll talk about in our third session some specifics and some practicals, but you already know them all. I mean, there won't be anything new in session three. It'll just be a pep talk, you know? Session two is just go and ask him now. Like, yours is the kingdom. It's all about you. It's you and your kingdom, and you are inviting us into partnership. It is the reasonable response of those who have been saved, who have been freed, to not just love him, not just obey him, but to serve him and help him, the beautiful king, make that kingdom kick butt and take names, to move it forward, to help him, to build along with him. There is a corporate nature to this invitation. It's not just that we've been given this responsibility to serve him. We have this responsibility together. The kingdom's too big for any one person to accomplish really all that much. There's a corporate responsibility. We serve him together and accomplish the kingdom purposes together. I want to give you Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. Paul talking about the body. And he says it this way. It says, speak the truth in love, will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Christ, the mature body of him who is head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and it builds itself up in love. It's talking about the body building itself up in love, the body expanding. The body is the expressive work of the kingdom of God in the earth. It's the church. The church growing and strengthening. How does that happen? It happens as each part does its work. The body of Christ, each individual in the body of Christ is supposed to be working for the kingdom of God. We have responsibility to one another and to the kingdom to work. It's not enough to obey and to love. He's asking us to work in his kingdom, to accomplish kingdom purposes. You can probably think right now of 5 or 10 things that could qualify. There are many things that could qualify, but there are a whole lot more that don't. Here's the gist. Are we only building our kingdom? Or are we building his too with intentionality? And really, remember the verse last week, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all else will be given to you. Seek first his kingdom, and then he'll help build your house. But we do it so backwards. We have a tendency to build our house and then a little bit of salt and pepper of, you know, maybe some kingdom stuff. He says, build my kingdom. Build my kingdom. The body of Christ is commissioned to grow into fullness, and we do it as each part does its work. We're supposed to be working for the kingdom. I know. I mean, it's like I'm talking to a group of busy people. They got kids. I mean, it's like, how easy is it to do the work of the kingdom when you got kids? How easy is it to do the work of the kingdom when you got a full-time job and you got these responsibilities? It's not easy. And we're also without excuse. We're called to build the kingdom of God, to work and to do stuff for God's kingdom. Now, the joy of it is, just like the joy of loving him in obedience, the joy of obeying him, it's better. Our life is better if we obey God and worse if we don't. Our life is better if we love God and far less fulfilled if we don't. Our life is better. It's better if we do the work of the kingdom, if we serve his kingdom purposes. He's got a big kingdom. I love just thinking about the, you know, analogy of, you know that medieval kingdom kind of concept. You got the blacksmith shop, and you got the bakery, and you've got the guards and those that train, you know, the guards and the warriors, and each one of those departments in the kingdom has responsibilities and work to be done, and people are employed there and they're doing stuff. That guy's kneading the bread, and this guy gets the fire going to bake the bread, and all of them are helping make bread a part of the kingdom. Well, in the kingdom of God, the Lord has different assignments. But the purpose is that we're helping move his kingdom forward, not merely our own lives. The brilliance of this corporate invitation, I'm going to give you Leviticus 26:8. I think this illustrates it as well as, you know, many verses could. The brilliance of this invitation being corporate in nature and not just individual. That it's not just that one part of the body, one, you know, pieces part in the body of Christ can run forward and that'll help the whole body get there. It's not. It's each part has to do its part. Each part. We work together. In fact, the kingdom of God can only go as far forward as the least are willing to work. I mean, it's like, it's all of us together. We're the body of Christ and centralized in different locations and in different congregations and in different ministries. The Lord is trying to build his kingdom. It's a beautiful thought process, though, that the invitation is corporate and not individual merely. Take a little side note. I came to know the Lord in 1999, and I partied like it was 1999. And when I came to know the Lord, I had no revelation of this body thing. I'd never heard it. I'd never been taught it. I'd never been to church before when I came to know Jesus. So there wasn't a lot of anything to bank on. And I just started to look at this concept of, well, man, I want to be a good Christian. I want to love Jesus. And I got such a selfish, self-centered, individualistic version of the kingdom. I began to think of, it's all about what I can do for God. And I just kind of didn't really have a revelation of what we can do for God. I just didn't really think much about it. I just thought, well, you know, a man of God just loves God. And I didn't really think about the responsibility that I had to my other brothers and sisters, and really the responsibility that they had to me too. And part of that was just because it wasn't a real prominent teaching, you know, where I was, and that's understandable. It took me some time to have a revelation that it wasn't just about me going for God. It was about we going for God. And I realized, actually, to do we well, I had to spend a little less time on me. And I had to allocate some of that time to kicking my brother in the butt, going, come on with me, let's do this. You know, and then I had to put up with some of my brother's thoughts about me and some of my issues. And he would tell me, or she would tell me. And I go, oh my gosh, wow, this we thing is tougher than I. And the Lord's like, I'm really into we. It's a corporate assignment. But look what happens when we do it. Leviticus 26. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. This corporate exponential growth, this exponential impact is the word I'm looking for. You imagine one can chase one, but 5 here can chase 100. Well, that's 20 to 1. I mean, that's pretty sweet odds. Well, yeah. And 100 of you can chase 10,000. That's even more. Not so good at math, but it's more. Trust me. And so it's like there's this corporate reality that we've been called into the kingdom to, like, that together we're stronger, that we go further together to build the kingdom, to accomplish the kingdom purposes. It's a corporate call. It's brilliant. Well, I want to talk for a few minutes about his part and our part. Thankfully, the Lord has outlined the roles in this partnership for us in his word. You know, I mean, it's one thing to talk about partnership and invitation, but to never get any details or specifics makes it a little bit tough and nebulous. Thankfully, the word, it outlines so that we're not left guessing about what we're supposed to do, about what our part in this partnership is, and what God's part in this partnership is. Because remember, it's a pretty audacious combination. These two are not really equally yoked, really. I mean, God and you and me. Let's be real here, okay? And yet there's this partnership. I think about a partnership, and it's like two businessmen going into partnership together to start something, or two gals start a real estate firm together. And they both look at each other's strengths and weaknesses, and they complement one another, but both of them have kind of got something to bring to the table, you know? I think about this partnership with God, and I'm like, what can we do? Like, what can we bring to this table? You're God, infinite, powerful. I mean, I don't really think you're lacking anything. And I see giant lack me. And you want to partner with me, and you think you're getting a good deal here? That's marvelous. I'm going to say yes to this partnership. This seems like a way for me to get fat rich off of all of your goods. I mean, this is a really good idea for me. So let's look at what this partnership looks like, because it's so simple. It's so simple. And yet, many times we still don't do it. Here's the partnership. Look at this passage in 1 Chronicles 28. I gave you 28, 10, and 20, both of those verses, because they're the same theme. So I kind of ran it all together here. The Lord has chosen you to build a house as the sanctuary. Now I'll just sidestep this for a second. The Lord chooses people to do stuff, kingdom assignments. This particular kingdom assignment was build the sanctuary. But the Lord chooses this guy to do this kingdom assignment, and this gal to do that kingdom assignment, and this family to do that kingdom assignment, and this ministry to do that kingdom assignment. So it's not so important about what the specific assignment is. We'll figure that out later. I just want to talk about the partnership aspect. The Lord has chosen you to do something. In this case, build a house as the sanctuary. What is our part? Our part, be strong and do the work. That's it. Just be strong and work. Huh? That's my partnership? Work. Like, you know, these flabby arms really can't accomplish much. Yeah, I know. I made those arms flabby. Just use them. Just work with flabby arms and all your weaknesses. Be strong and do the work. He says it again. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Like, why is he really putting on this strong, courageous thing? Like, what is that? How does strong and courageous have anything to do with work? Oh, we'll look at it in a minute because it's really important. It is the other part that we're supposed to do, this be strong and courageous thing. It's not just work. Be strong and courageous is a significant component of what our part, our responsibility is, and we'll look at it here in a minute. Be strong and courageous, do the work. Do not be afraid. That sounds like be courageous. Don't be discouraged. My goodness, how many times are you going to say this to us, Lord? For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord has finished. This doesn't mean that God is going to forsake them after they're done with the work. What this does mean is when God commissions us to do an assignment, it will not be him that falters on the assignment. He will be with us until that assignment is done. So there's no question about whether God will do his part. No question. We have a role to play. Our role is hard work. It's to do the kingdom work. That's our role in the relationship. To work hard at whatever kingdom objectives God gives us to do. And remember, he gives us objectives to do. So there's real objectives. We got to figure out what those things are and then do them and know that he'll never default on the loan. Here's where it comes down to it. The other part of this, we're never allowed to quit. That's what be strong means. That's what be courageous means. That's what don't be afraid and don't be discouraged means, is that his job is to give us the strength to do it. Our job is to work hard and never quit. Never. And he says, I promise you, I will give you the strength. I'll never give you more than you can handle. It might feel like it, but you're wrong. I'll never give you more than you can handle. If this thing goes south, it won't be God's fault. It'll be yours. And it will only be yours for one reason. You quit. It's the only way we can fail is if we quit. It's the only way. I mean, we just don't quit. That's the job. That's our job. God really involves himself in the process. He will not leave us as orphans. He will work harder than us. He will do more for us. He will strengthen us. He promises to keep us in the race if we just won't quit. The simplest way to serve God long-term and be successful is just make a statement in your heart, it won't be me. If this thing falls apart, it won't be because of me. And God says the same thing. Well, if this thing falls apart, it's not going to be because of me. And if the two of us could just be in agreement, I'm not going to quit. God says, I'm not going to quit. Good. Well, this thing's going to get done. We're going to build your kingdom. Let's get some stuff done for God. God really involves himself in the process. He does it because he gives us his glory. He gives us his glory. We're going to look at this verse here in just a second. We'll go ahead and pull that verse up. John 17, 22. He gives us his glory so that we can get his work done in order that we can expand his kingdom. He gives us his glory. He gives us power that's not human. He gives us understanding that's not human. He gives us resilience that's not human. He gives us grace. He imparts his glory to us so that we can get his kingdom objectives done. He wants us to complete assignments, and he knows it's difficult, so he imparts his glory to us. Look at this verse in John 17, 22. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Why? That the world will know that you sent me. Now, the world knowing that Jesus was sent by the Father, that's the result of the church doing the work of the kingdom. It's the result of the church unified and working together to do the kingdom objectives. And then the world looks at that and goes, oh my gosh, this kingdom of God thing is real. Jesus is real. Jesus must really be from the Father. The Father must really be real. There is a God. I need God. It comes because Jesus gives us the glory that the Father gave him. That glory isn't just so we can enjoy life, though I like enjoying life. It's not just so that we can obey God, although I'm grateful for that grace that helps me to obey God. It's not just so that we can love God. It's so that we can work for his kingdom with all of our heart and soul and strength, like we read in Deuteronomy. He gives us glory to empower us, not just to obey, not just to love, but also to serve. And when we do it, it brings him glory. When we work with the grace that God gives us, we're able to build his kingdom, but that's what it's for. It's to expand his kingdom. Let me give you the part of faith in this partnership. Remember it said, don't be discouraged, don't give up. Well, here's the problem. We are prone to give up. We're prone to be discouraged. We're prone to get disillusioned. We're prone to get distracted. But we're supposed to take courage. That don't quit part, it requires faith to accomplish it. Let's pull up the Hebrews 11:6 verse. You guys know the verse well. We probably used it, I don't know, as many times as any verse around here. But it's because it's the starting point for happy God. Like, how do you make God happy? Well, it's impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. This isn't just saving faith. This is faith all the way through the process. This is the faith that helps us not quit. This is the faith that trusts God to do his part and leaves our part with us. Here's what I mean. God gives us an assignment. Probably at the front end of that assignment, we had faith. Because God did something cool. He spoke to us. Something in your spirit went, yeah, that's God. I'm going to do that. So at some point, you had faith in God and you started off on this journey. But we're supposed to have faith with God on day 2, day 20, day 200, and 2,000. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why? It's impossible to please him because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, must believe that God is on the other end of this equation, must believe that God is watching and rewarding, must believe that God is paying attention, must believe that God exists. So often we start the assignment and we believe God exists. We believe he's real. We believe he's watching. We believe he's paying attention and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. But we've got to keep the faith. And it's impossible to please him 20 days in, 200 days in without faith. We've got to have faith. What it means is we've got to continually re-engage him. Lord, you gave me this assignment. I believe you. This is your assignment. It's your kingdom. It's not like it's mine. This is your assignment. I believe you. I trust you. I need you. It's looking past the difficulties. You're going to have difficulties when you say yes to God to do an assignment. You're going to face difficulties. You got to get past them through faith. You got to look to God again. Use faith to do his work the whole way through, to get past the difficulties, to get past the setbacks, to get past the failures. You press in again and go, okay, God, I'm not giving up on this service thing. I'm not going to give up on serving God just because it's difficult, just because the assignment didn't go the way that I thought, because it was disillusioning, because it was disappointing, because it was one of the other disses. Okay, don't be dissed. Whatever happens, you keep engaging faith and going, I believe you. I believe that you are on the other end of this equation and that you will reward me, that you will do your part, that you are real, that you like me, that you're involved in this process. He requires that we engage him in faith, and that's what it means. Don't be discouraged. Why would Solomon have even been warned about that in that passage we read a minute ago? Where it says, don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Well, what? Why would I be discouraged? That's a discouraging thing to say. What do you mean don't be discouraged? I'm not discouraged. Well, no, not yet. Of course not. The hardships and the trials and the disillusionment hasn't come yet. But no, it's coming. Don't worry. Just don't quit. When it comes, don't quit. Don't be discouraged. Engage faith, man of God. Woman of God, rise up. Engage faith. Don't quit. Don't stop serving God because it was sad, or it wasn't working, or it was falling apart. Don't give up. Keep going. Well, here's how this equation works. We looked at what our part is. Our part is simple. Work and keep working. Work and don't quit. Work and don't get discouraged. It's all the same thing. It's really just work. You know, because I mean, if you quit, then you're not working. So you're not doing the main thing we're supposed to be doing. Our part in the relationship of serving God is do stuff for God. It's work, okay? In building the kingdom. What's his part? Oh, really everything. Really, it's everything, actually. I mean, your part is work. You show up with strength he gave you, money he gave you, intellect he gave you, relationships he gave you. So how much have you really brought to the table so far? You didn't die? Oh, okay, good. Got it. That's your part. You didn't die. Got it. Okay, so then you use the strengths and the not die. Oh, by the way, he's also the one who gave you breath today. So you didn't even bring that to the table. Okay? You just kind of show up and work with what he's given you, and he is responsible for everything else. Everything. Everything. It's confusing to us only when we think it's up to us. This isn't working. I thought I was called. You were called to work. Work that field. Well, there's rocks in it. Work that field. It ain't raining. Work that field. The enemy came and burned it down. Just work the field. Don't quit. Just work the field. Don't stop. It's confusing when we think it's up to us. You can't do squat. But the part you can do, work, God refuses to do. He will not do it. He said, that's your part. Your part is work. You work in my kingdom. You work at the assignment. You do the work. And the Lord loves it. We're out there with our little miniature hammer. My girls have got this like mini hammer thing. It's made out of plastic. It's like the saddest little thing ever. But I kind of like to hold it and go, ding, ding, ding. It's really kind of fun. I imagine that's really what we're doing on our strongest day. I'm talking about the day your chest is out and you're all like strong and you've, you know, eaten a hearty breakfast that day and you're given all you've got. It's like dink, dink, dink before God. And that's all he asks you to do is dink, dink, dink. God is so thrilled with it. He loves it. Your reasonable act of service, work for the kingdom of God. It's confusing only when we take ownership that's not ours, when we play God. I am in charge of how this project goes. I am in charge of whether this thing grows or fails. I am in charge. No, you're not. You're not God. Your job is to work hard. And you cannot control the results. Those results are in God's hands. And the Lord may do this and may do that. He may do this and then undo it and then do that. It's up to him. Your job is just to work the field. It's confusing only when we begin to think that we are in control, because we are not. However, it is wholly broken. It is utterly unhelpful. It is not moving forward when we don't do our part, when we don't work. There is a kingdom of God all around us. There are objectives that God has in Arlington. There are things he wants done in Dallas-Fort Worth. There are things he wants done in this church with these kids in these small groups. There's things he wants done at that prayer room. There's things he wants done. And if we don't work, they don't happen. There's things he wants to do. We've been given specific assignments. Look at these verses. You guys know them, but I want you to personalize these. We're all working together. Each person has assignments. Each ministry has assignments. Each city, each region has assignments. But I want to put these verses together, Jeremiah 29:11 and Ephesians 2:10, and I want you to think about this for a second. I know the plans I have for you. So God has plans for you as an individual, for you as a church, for you as a family, for you as a whatever, pick a you. I know the plans I have for you. There are things God wants to do. Things he has in store, specific things, plans that he has for you, declares the Lord. And they are to prosper you. They're not to harm you. They are to give you a hope. They are to give you a future. But you've got to partner with his plans. You got to do it his way. It's so easy for us to just live the Christian life and do it our way, like we're God, like we're in charge, like we're the ones calling the shots. I'm going to live my life the way I want to, but I'm going to follow some Christian principles. That's like a cult. I mean, it's like, that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is, I died, dead man walking. What do you want this dead man to do today? What do you want this dead man to invest in? Because daddy here is serving you. What you got for me? Daddy, here comes daddy. This is the purpose of God, is that he's got plans for us. They should not be our plans. They should be his. Look at the Ephesians 2. It gets even more intense. We are God's workmanship. He's got this perfectly, he's crafting us. We've been created in Christ to do good works, to do good works. That doesn't mean to be nice and to live the fruit of the Spirit. It means works, to do stuff. Like, to build that thing, to do this thing, to start that thing, to do stuff. to do good works. They're part of the plans to do stuff for the kingdom of God, which God prepared in advance for us to do. These are very specific, detailed things he wants you to do. In heaven, when God thinks about you, he thinks first about how much he loves you. He thinks about all the ways that you've blessed his heart and life through your faith and your acts of obedience. He loves all that. And he also thinks about the stuff that he has assigned for you to build for him in the kingdom of God. The part of the wall you're supposed to build. That thing that you're supposed to impact. And not just one thing, it's works, good works. Some last for days, some last for seasons, some last your whole life long. Some might be an assignment that you've got your whole way through. But he created specific things for you to do, to build his kingdom, to serve his kingdom. And this is what is concerning. We can bypass those works. We cannot do them. We can choose to do something else. We can choose to live for ourselves. I mean, if you live for yourself the whole way through and sprinkle a little bit of, you know, the fruit of the Spirit on it so that you look Christian and, you know, you got a heart that's engaged with God, even in love, you can show up before the throne and God go, oh, I love you so much. Give me big kisses. And then him look at you and go, hey, you know those works that I prepared for you to do in advance? Remember the Ephesians verse? Yeah. You didn't do any of them. You didn't do any of them. You didn't do them. You didn't do them. You loved me, you were obedient, and you did not serve the kingdom of God. I had works for you to do. I prepared them in advance for you. You were called to serve the kingdom of God. I love you, but you didn't do what I called you to do. I mean, this do thing, it's real. You know me, I'm a greatest commandment kind of guy. I mean, I preach on it all the time. It's real. But it doesn't negate the fact that he created works for you. And they're not unrelated to his kingdom. They are entirely about his kingdom. They are objectives in the kingdom coming from the supreme leader, coming from the king over the kingdom to get stuff done. Let's build that over there. Let's get that. Let's take this ground. Hey, I need you to learn this so that you can really start moving things forward in this direction. There are purposes in the kingdom. Partnership with God, it's for our good. The Lord has our good in mind. But we can bypass these assignments because it's an invitation. It's an invitation. I don't know how many Evites I've never opened. I saw it and I was like, I know I'm not going to that. I'm not even opening it. Then somebody texts me, hey, you didn't open my Evite. Oh. Dang it, I'll open it, but I'm still not coming. It's an invitation, not a mandate. I don't know who in this room got signed up for Android service and we all just do whatever God says and just robot through life. That's not how I live. Is that how you live? It's an invitation, and an invitation can be rejected. We can accept one invitation and reject the next one. I mean, The invitation to serve, to partner with him, he does not dictate it. He does not demand it. He invites us. And friends, I just want to tell you, as busy Americans with too many options, as busy Americans who the primary gospel that's preached is love Jesus and live the American dream. It's really kind of scary. It's kind of scary. There's going to be so much we're going to have to answer for. There's going to be so much kingdom of God stuff that didn't get done in America. Let me just go on a little rant here. How could America be in the state that it is in if everybody in the kingdom of God in America was working for the kingdom of God while still living in America? How could we possibly as a nation be in the crisis that we're in the environment that we're in with the situation? It's impossible. What that means is there's a whole lot of folk who are in the kingdom but are not working for the kingdom. It means there's a lot of kingdom objectives not being pushed forward. There's a significant amount, and the Lord, we're gonna have to answer for that. Each one. each congregation, each group, each region, each individual. We're going to have to give an account for that. And again, the Lord's going to say, I love you so much. But what did the Lord ask of you? To obey him. To love him. And to serve him wholeheartedly. To serve him, to do kingdom work. I don't want to bypass it because of an unwillingness to believe. I think that happens. I think the primary reasons that we bypass the assignments is we just quit believing. Like, oh God, that faith thing is so hard. I don't want to keep doing it. I can't do it anymore. And we bypass it because we don't believe. We bypass it because we don't want to serve him. We'd really rather serve ourselves. Now, nobody talks like that. I know I'm using some pretty like straight talk here. Like nobody's like, well, I'm in the group that doesn't want to serve God. I mean, like, who talks like that? But is it real or is it not real? I mean, that's a conversation for you to have with the Lord, you know? Serve him. I don't mean obey him. Different category. Serve him. To suffer for him. I think this is another reason we bypass stuff. We start getting into suffering, and it's like, ooh, no thanks. I'll go a different direction. Surely there's an easier road. Yeah, there's always an easier road. In fact, there's probably 10. The way is narrow. The gate is narrow. And not only is it narrow, I think the path is on fire. I'm pretty sure. I've done this a little bit. I'm pretty sure the path is on fire, and there's guys with pitchforks poking at me the whole way down. And there's this other road over here, and it's broad, and it's green, and there's not the stench of death anywhere. It's like, oh yeah, sign me up for that. I think we bail because we don't want to suffer, and we bypass. Listen, I just want to say it plainly because I love you. I bet you every one of us in this room has got at least one thing that we were supposed to do that we can't get back because it's over. It's done. We already rejected it. The time period's gone. Now we're supposed to be doing a different assignment. We're supposed to be doing something different. I just have a feeling that probably every one of us in this room has got at least one and maybe a longer list of works which he prepared in advance for you to do, and they're never going to get done. If we let that sting in a right way, it'll get us on track to make sure we're doing the ones we're supposed to be doing this season. And the Lord desperately, not that's the wrong word, the Lord delights, the Lord earnestly, eagerly wants us to partner with him to do his kingdom. He loves it. He loves this partnership. He loves the choice, the free will. It's so maddening to me. Robots would be so much easier, Lord. Let's just make a bunch of robots. He wants partnership because he wants it to come from a willing heart. He doesn't want you doing it because you have to. He wants you doing it of your own choosing, of your own volition. He loves it. I don't want to miss out because I was unwilling to believe. I don't want to bypass because I was unwilling to serve him. I don't want to try to get out of the fire because the suffering is real. It's like, man, if I just stop this, the suffering will stop. Yeah, but so will the work of the kingdom of God that you're supposed to do. It's not worth it. Just keep doing it and suffer. Just burn a little. It's okay. You're fine. You get a resurrected body. Whatever scars you get in this life, they'll all be fine. You'll be good. And I don't want to bypass it because I disobeyed, because I got into disobedience. These are the ways we can get off. All of these wind up getting us to stop the only thing we're supposed to do, work. Our part is work. His part is everything else.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.